20. That's hymn number 420. There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. On the first verse.
There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer. And the baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king.
On the second verse now.
There's a tumult of joy for the wonderful birth, for the song whose sweet boy is the Lord of the earth.
Aye, the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. On the fourth verse now.
We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throne. Aye, we shout to the lovely evangel they bring, and we greet it.
Merry Christmas, everyone. So good to see all of you here tonight, and we have some special things we're going to be doing this evening. I think for the first time in history, we're going to have a baptism tonight, but that's good. We'll baptize any chance we can, and so we're going to pray and then have our fellowship time, and then right after that, before our next song, we'll have our baptism. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as you pray tonight, if you'd remember Al Enzer in prayer, he was transferred to the Dove House this afternoon about 5 o'clock and is in very serious condition. And let's pray for the Lord's blessings there as well. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this day, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come together and pray and sing and hear the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you will just bless us richly tonight. Father, we think of Brother Al Enzer and pray your richest blessings to be with him. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done, that Father, you would be honored and glorified as he is so near death. Lord, I pray that you'll just lift him up and encourage his family and help them. Lord, what a tragic time of the year to be so gravely ill, and I pray that you'll bless. Lord, we also want to pray tonight for others that are in our church and need your hand of blessing. We realize that you're the great physician, and so we commit each of these into your hands and ask for your richest blessings to be upon them. And Father, at this time, in this service, we gather here tonight to honor our Savior. And Lord, we've come together tonight to just lift up the name of Christ and thank you for sending your Son into this world. And Lord, I pray that you will just bless our service tonight. May the things that are said and the things that are done help each one of us to realize the wonder of our Savior. And Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for what you do for us tonight. In Jesus' precious name, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see all of you here. We got a good full house tonight, and it's always a joy to see guests come and be with us. And we're especially glad to have you with us tonight. And I want you to feel right at home and welcome. And we'd like to take just a minute and shake hands and visit and fellowship with one another. And then as soon as we're finished, we'll baptize. So let's visit with one another.
Good night.
Well, we're happy to baptize this evening. This is Garrett Stocksdale. This is Chip and Angie's son and Nancy Stocksdale's grandson. And Garrett is 10 years old. He was saved when he was 5 years old. And we're thankful for his desire to follow the Lord in baptism this Christmas Eve. This will be very special in his life. And so, Garrett, upon your public profession of faith, in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried in likeness of his death, raised in likeness of his resurrection. Good job.
Let's stand and sing together one more time. Hymn number 431. That's hymn number 431, Silent Night, Holy Night. On the first verse.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and
third verse now.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, lumps your light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeemed.
Fourth verse now.
Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing.
Just encourage all our church family, remind you of our services on Wednesday night, and we have a regular schedule this week, and Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock, and I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. We're so glad for all of you that have come tonight, especially our guests. We're just thrilled to have you. We certainly don't want to charge anybody for coming tonight, but we are going to receive an offering tonight, so if you'd like to help out, you feel free to do so. But if our men will come, we will pray, and then we'll receive our offering this evening. And let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the privilege of giving. And Lord, we realize that the foundation for love, for all giving, is love. And Lord, I pray that with a loving heart we will give tonight, and that you will bless the gifts and multiply them. Lord, there are so many ministries and so many missionaries and so many people that we try to help. And Lord, all the expenses of operating a church this size. And Father, we're thankful for the way you provide for us. You certainly have provided for all of our needs. And Lord, we rejoice in that, and we pray you'll meet the needs tonight. So bless, Lord, the gift and the giver. Be with our guests. Lord, we're so thankful for each one that's here. So bless us together now as we give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, let's all stand and sing together one more time. Hymn number 433. Hymn number 433, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. Little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. On the first.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the
it's a brand new dawn.
Thank you, Michelle. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, for the message tonight. The Christmas story is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. It tells us so many aspects about our Savior and things that are so foundational to everything that we believe and that everything that the Bible is built upon. And there is a little statement that is made in this chapter that I want to kind of launch from tonight. And I'd like to begin reading in the 18th verse, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. And Matthew tells us, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus." Now I want you to go back, please, to the 19th verse, and we are told in the 18th verse that Mary realized that she was going to have a child. And of course, you can imagine her dismay when she realized that she was pregnant. And then you read in the 19th verse, it says that Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. I want to speak to you tonight, taking my thoughts from that little phrase, was minded to put her away privily. And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. I just don't want to deal with it right now. I just don't want to deal with it right now. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for your blessings upon us. And Lord, thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you, Lord, for this great crowd here this evening. And I pray that you will now bless as we take about 30 minutes and just look at the Word of God and see what thus saith the Lord. Father, help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing and an encouragement and a help to folks. And Lord, I also pray that you will give ears to hear to every person. Lord, may we hear what the Lord has for us this evening, not just with our ears, but Lord, may we hear with our hearts. And I pray that, Father, our focus and our attention will be upon the Savior. And Lord, as we look at Joseph and how he just didn't want to deal with this right now. It overwhelmed him. It was too much. And Lord, he just didn't understand everything that was going on. And I pray that, Lord, you'll help us to try to come to an understanding and have our eyes opened as Joseph's eyes were open. And then, Lord, be as Joseph and do what the Spirit of God bids us do. And so, Lord, bless us tonight. Help me, help us, Lord, tonight. And may Jesus Christ be honored and glorified in what's said. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we're told several very interesting things about the circumstances of our Lord's birth. In the 18th verse, we're told that Joseph and Mary are in the espousal period of their marriage. Now, I've already taught our church folks, and I'm not going to go through all that with you again, but suffice it to say, Joseph and Mary in 17 and 18, verses 17 and 18, Joseph and Mary in this espousal period are legal husband and wife. You will notice that when the angel of the Lord came to speak to him in verse 20, the angel said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. So they were, in the eyes of God, in this espousal period of their relationship, they were legally married to one another. And in the eyes of God and in the eyes of Rome, they were seen and they were viewed as husband and wife. But the Holy Spirit is very careful to let us know and understand that they had not yet been together as husband and wife. Although they were in the espousal period of their relationship, they had not come together as husband and wife, and it is in these circumstances that Mary finds herself expecting a baby. Now, you can imagine her dismay. How in the world is this possible? She knows that she's a virgin. She knows that she has never been with a man. And how in the world is this possible? And to get her dismay and to see how the Lord answered her dismay, you can go to the Gospel of Luke and you can read where Gabriel came and explained to her how this had happened and how that the Holy Spirit of God had come upon her and planted the seed in her womb, thus leaving her with child. And I'm sure that she was amazed and comforted by the announcement that the angel had given, and I'm sure that it brought great peace to her soul. But now we're in Matthew, and Matthew is in this chapter dealing with Joseph's side, Joseph's perspective on this thing. And I want you just to stop and imagine what must have been going through Joseph's mind. I can't imagine what he was thinking. Here he is marrying or is married to this young lady, and then no doubt with assurances from her father when he gave her to him in marriage that she was indeed a virgin. And then lo and behold, he finds out that she's carrying a child. He knew that he had not been with her, and that only leaves one other option, and that is that she had been unfaithful. And so what is this poor fellow to think? I mean, imagine what is going through this guy's mind. And, think about it for a moment. If you had a daughter, and your daughter came home and announced that she was pregnant, and yet vehemently told you that she had not been with a man, would you believe her? No, sir, you wouldn't. And I dare say that Mary probably did her very best to explain and to deny and do everything in her power to convince Joseph that she had not been unfaithful to him. I'm sure that she put forth every effort in imaginable to explain that she had not been unfaithful to the vow that she had made to him when their fathers united them in marriage and they entered into this espousal period of their marriage. But yet here she is pregnant. Now, I want you to notice what verse 20 says. Verse 20 says, and while he thought on these things, I would think that he would think on these things. Would you not think that? I mean, I can just imagine that that's probably about all he thought about. And while he was thinking on these things, this is what crossed his mind. Go back to verse 19. In the last part of verse 19, we read that he was not willing to make her a public example. Now, why do you think that was? Well, the Holy Spirit explains that to us and tells us that he did not want to do this because he was a just man. He was a good guy. And he did not want to humiliate and he did not want to embarrass or destroy her in the community. And so what he decided to do in the last part of this verse, he was minded to put her away privily. He was minded to put her away privily. And as I read the intent of Joseph here, I could not help but think that much of the world, I think, has this same mindset towards the Lord Jesus Christ today. I could not help but think that Joseph thought about all of this and said, you know, I just don't want to deal with this right now. I don't want to shame her. She's a good woman, but I also don't want to embarrass myself. I mean, what is my family going to say? What are my friends going to think? What are the guys at work going to think about this situation? I just don't need this right now. I just don't want to deal with it. And he was minded just to brush it aside, put her away privily, and get it behind him as quickly as possible. And as I thought on this, it occurred to me that there are still today a great number of people who still feel this way about the Lord Jesus. I have had many people through the years say to me, when I have tried to win them to Christ and tried to explain to them the gospel and show them they need to be saved, and I've talked to them after services and so on, and I've had them say to me, you know, Pastor, I know that I need the Lord, I know that I need to be saved, but you know, I just don't want to deal with this right now. And we find ourselves so busy with life and so busy with work and so busy with self and in some cases so busy with sin that and all we see all over folks that just simply don't want to deal with the Lord Jesus. Oh, we don't want to make a spectacle out of our denial. We don't want to make a public scene. So we'll just do it privily. We'll just do it privately. But we will say to ourselves, I don't want to deal with this right now. Now, I want you just to think with me about three areas, and then I'll close. But the first thing I want you to think about tonight, you know, the world does not want to deal with Jesus. I mean, that is never any more clear than at Christmas time. The world does not want to deal with Jesus. The world says, you know, you can have Christmas and you know, you can go ahead and have it. We'll call it the winter holidays. We don't call it Christmas, though. We'll call it the winter holidays. And you know, you can say happy holidays to folks and all that. But, you know, we just don't want to deal with Jesus. So the world is minded to put Jesus away privily. They don't want to make a spectacle of their rejection. I mean, for most folks, it's not like they're painting placards and walking around advertising that they hate God or they hate the Bible or they hate Jesus. They won't do that, but they simply reject him by casting him aside with the excuse, well, I just don't want to deal with that right now. You see, folks, the world has adopted its method of rejection. And the world's method of rejection is what it calls political correctness. The world says, don't say Merry Christmas, say Happy Holidays. The public schools give kids a winter break, not a Christmas break. You can't have a manger scene or anything that might even hint for the real reason for the season, the baby Jesus. You can't have a manger scene on any kind of public property. So the mindset is we'll just put him away privily. And the way they do that is through what is called political correctness. And you never see the world any more clearly exhibiting its refusal of Christ than you do at Christmas time. I was watching the news this morning and then turned it on later on this afternoon. And Senator Mike Huckabee, who is one of the guys running for president, did a commercial out in Iowa for his campaign. And at the end of the commercial, he wished everyone a Merry Christmas. Oh, my goodness, you would have thought that he had just absolutely committed the most heinous sin that a man could ever commit. And they're climbing all over him. I mean, the guys that are running against him are on him. And the media is on him. And every liberal in the country is on him. And the newspapers and everybody else. Why, you can't say that. You're running for president. You can't say that. And it's the same thing that we saw during the months right after 9/11. Do you remember that? Yeah. Man, everybody got so religious right after 9/11, and everybody was just free to talk about God, and they did, but you could not dare say anything about Jesus. Don't ever say anything about Jesus. You talk about God till you're blue in the face, because to a liberal, God is relative. I mean, God could be a stump out here somewhere. So you can just talk about God however you want to talk about Him, but don't, whatever you do, don't talk about Jesus. You see, folks, the central target of the world is the babe, the Lord Jesus Christ. You best not throw Jesus into the mix. If you do, you got a problem. Well, let me tell you what the Word of God says. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What the Bible says is if you're going to get to God, you've got to come through Jesus to get there. You can't get there any other way. That's what the Bible says. God can only be approached through the blood of His precious Son. And folks, that's what Christmas is all about. The fact that God sent His Son so that man could have fellowship with God. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's not a way, He's the way. He's not a truth, He's the truth. He's not a life, He is the one and only life. But the world, whether they realize it or not, is going to one day have to deal with Jesus. Folks, listen, every one of us are going to have to deal with Him. You either deal with Him now or you'll deal with Him later, but you're going to have to deal with Him. You either bow before Him now as your Savior or you will bow before Him one day as your judge. But make no mistake about it, you cannot put Jesus away privily. You can't do it. It's just you just won't be able to do it. You cannot say, I don't have time for this right now. You cannot say, I don't want to deal with this right now. I've got plenty of time. I've got my whole life. Folks, you don't know that. So you need to deal with Him now. I've told our church this story before, but it goes fits so well here. So just act like you never heard it before if you remember it. Years ago in the state of New York, a judge was driving to work one day and he saw a car up in front of him spin out and go into the river. And he stopped and miraculously pulled a teenage boy to safety. If he had not come along, that boy would have drowned for sure. But he stopped his car and risked his own life and went and pulled that young man out of that car and pulled him to safety. Months later, this boy was standing before this judge and was accused of a terrible crime. And when the explanations were given and the judge made his ruling, he handed that young man the stiffest sentence that he could give him. He said, son, do you have anything to say? And that boy stood up and said, judge, it's me. Don't you remember me? Judge, it's me. I'm the boy you pulled out of the river. I'm the boy whose life you saved. And the judge looked at him and said, son, I most certainly do remember you. But there's something you need to realize, young man. On that day that I pulled you out of the river, I was your Savior. But today, I'm your judge. And folks, that's how every one of us on this planet is going to meet Jesus. You'll either meet Him as your Savior or you will meet Him as your judge. I think you'd be a whole lot better off to meet Him as Savior right now than to have to stand before Him one day with your head bowed low, embarrassed because you rejected His Son. And folks, every human being on the planet is one day going to have to face Jesus. You will either face Him as Savior or you will face Him as judge. And John said that when He comes back, every eye shall see Him. He came the first time as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. With judgment in His hand. So it would not be wise to take the world's attitude and try to privily put Jesus away somewhere where you feel that you don't have to deal with Him. Because ultimately, you are going to have to deal with Him. So you best deal with Him now before it's too late. But then there's a second thought. Sadly, churches today don't want to deal with Jesus. I mean, all over the place. You think because the world is so adamantly against Jesus, the church certainly doesn't want the world against her, so she's decided now to put away Jesus privily. Oh, most churches aren't adamant about this. I mean, there wouldn't even be a church if it were not for Jesus, but nonetheless, there's a lot of them that are putting him away. You say, well, Pastor, how are they doing that? Well, one, there are several tactics that they're using in order to accomplish their intent to put him away privily. One method is to do away with the doctrine of repentance. Just do away with repentance. I mean, they do this by removing the invitation. They do this by soft soaping the sermon. You know, patting everybody on the back and telling them how good they are instead of telling them the truth about the gospel, which is you must be born again. The attitude is, well, we don't want people to feel guilty. Well, wait a minute, folks, we are guilty. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A couple of weeks ago, after the 8:30 service, I was walking down the hallway and a fella came up to me and said, "Sir, did you preach this morning?" And I said, "I tried." He said, "You made me feel so guilty." I said, "It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit that made you feel guilty." Another method is to make Jesus like one of us. Folks, this is the attempt to de-deify Christ. To make Jesus into just a good old boy kind of fella. Preachers always say they were flipping through the channels. Not me, I was watching this. I'm not going to lie to you. I was watching this. And this fella was on there. This preacher was on there telling his congregation how Jesus came to him one day. And he said that Jesus came to him in blue jeans and a Coca-Cola t-shirt. And this is what he said. He said, "I knew it was Jesus because he had long hair and a beard." I had my Bible. I said, "Well, where's that? I don't find that anywhere." But I knew it was him because he had long hair and a beard. And he said he and Jesus had a good long talk. Folks, you know something? Every time you read in the Bible of someone having a visit from a resurrected Jesus, that person is falling on his face as though dead. He is fallen on his face as though dead. Begging for mercy. Seeing himself as sinful as he really is. Not sitting around getting instruction from some good old boy on how to fleece people out of their money. Well, folks, I want you to know that when you come to the church, the open door, you're going to be asked to deal with Jesus. We aren't watering it down. We aren't sugarcoating the truth. And we aren't going to do away with repentance. And we aren't going to reduce Jesus to just some good old boy. We're not going to take the Bible and change it to the world's liking. And we're not going to take salvation and change it just so that it accommodates everybody's egos. We're sinners and we need the Lord. And folks, that's what Christmas is all about. God sending the Lord for a bunch of sinners. Now, you might decide to put him away privily, but you will clearly hear the truth before you make that decision. And the truth is you need the Lord tonight. Then thirdly, the individual doesn't want to deal with Jesus. The individual wants to put him away privily. I've had so many people through the years say to me, "Well, Pastor, I just don't have time for this." Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. It's not that you don't have, it's that you won't have. You need the Lord, dear friend. I've had folks say to me, "Well, Pastor, I'm too busy living my life. I'm too busy making money. I'm too busy with my job. I'm too busy with my house. I'm too busy grabbing life's gusto." And I remind you that Jesus ran into a fellow like this one night and he said to him, "Thou fool, tonight shall thy soul be required of thee." Dear friend, you don't know. when the Lord's going to call your number. And I want you to listen to me. You've got to deal with Jesus sometime. Years ago, in the very first church that I pastored, and I hadn't been there very long, just a few months. And I was visiting one night in a home. Young lady that had visited our church, and I followed up and went to their home. Jim Fitzwater and I went to knocked on their door, and we went inside and sat down and started to talk. And after a little while, I asked the man of the house if he were to die today, did he know he'd go to heaven? He looked at me and he said, well, no, I don't know that. I said, well, can I take a minute and show you how you can know? He looked at me and he said, preacher, I want you to know right now. He said, I appreciate you coming, but he said, I don't have time for Jesus right now in my life. He was a young man. He looked at me and he said, preacher, he said, I just got my company up and going. And he said, I have a family to provide for and I don't have time for Jesus. So Jim and I left. The next morning, my phone rang and it was his wife. She said, pastor, can you come to the hospital in Parkersburg? She said, there's been a terrible accident. And I said, sure. So I got in the car and I drove over to Parkersburg. Her husband had gotten in a car accident. And they had to come and cut him out of the car. And it broke his spine. When I walked into that hospital room, that man was laying upside down on a board, strapped to that board. He had a great big halo that was screwed into the side of his head. And when I walked in, he opened his eyes and looked at me upside down, and great big old tears welled up in his eyes and dripped down the corner of his eyes. I walked over where I could turn and look down into his face. And when I looked down into his face, he said, preacher, I got time for Jesus now. And in just a few minutes' time, I was able to lead that man to Christ. Everybody has time for Jesus. Everybody thinks, though, that they've got forever and that they're somehow or another going to just hang on and eventually sneak into heaven. And folks, we know that God is a God of grace. And I've certainly led many a soul to Christ at the very last minute. But none of us has that guarantee. Not a one of us here. The Bible says that salvation is a now thing. It's not a wait thing. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. So don't seek to put him away privily. Oh, I know you don't want to be ugly about it. And I know you don't want to deny the Lord. And I know you don't want to be arrogant about your rejection of him. I mean, you're like Joseph. You are a just person. You're a good guy. You're not about to be dogmatic about the matter and declare your hostility towards Jesus. You'll just sit here and say, I'll deal with this sometime, but I don't have time right now. I don't feel like dealing with this right now. I'll get saved one of these days, preacher. I'll get saved before I die, but I don't need this right now. Well, all I can say is, so far as Joseph was concerned, thank God the angel of the Lord stepped in here. And thank God the angel of the Lord straightened this whole thing out, and Joseph then did the right thing. And right now, I'm trusting the Lord to step in here and show you just how much you need the Savior tonight. Folks, you need the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not about these candles burning. Christmas is not about these beautiful flowers up here. Christmas is not about the decorations that are hanging. It's not about the gifts that we give. Christmas is about God sending His only begotten Son into this world. And I say to you, more than you need anything in the world, more than you need any present that is under your tree, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot privily put Him away. You have to deal with him sometime. Why not deal with him right now? Why not just deal with him today as God speaks to your heart? Bow your heads with me, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. Father, would you speak to our hearts? Open our understanding to what we have heard. And Lord, I pray that not one soul here tonight will leave before they've taken the opportunity they have
to make sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Lord, please speak to hearts. I pray that you'll do a real work in our hearts right now. Lord, this is what Christmas is all about. The greatest gift that was ever given was the gift of eternal life that was given by your Son. Father, help us now to understand that. And I pray that folks will receive Christ as their Savior right here tonight. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you just a couple of personal questions. And I want you to be honest with me and yourself and with God. How many folks here tonight will say, Pastor, I know the Lord is my personal Savior. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. There's absolutely no doubt about it. If I died right now, I know that I have a home in heaven. Jesus is my Savior. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ is your personal Savior? Say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I know that I'm going to heaven. No doubts at all. Amen. You may put your hand down. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. There were hands that weren't raised. And I appreciate you being honest with me. You could have deceived me right there and I'd have never known the difference. But you were honest and you didn't raise your hand. My friend, I want you to understand something. God loves you tonight. I did not want to preach this message, but this is the message the Lord led me to preach. I wanted to preach a message that was a little bit softer. This was right to the point, and I know it was. This gets right down where the huckleberries grow, and I understand that, and I realize that. But this is what God wanted me to preach. And I got to do what God wants. But evidently somebody needed to hear that they need to get saved tonight. Somebody needed to hear that you're going to have to face Him. You either face Him now as Savior, or one day you'll face Him as Judge. But you do have to face Him. You cannot put Him away privily. You cannot shove it aside. You cannot say, I don't want to deal with this right now. You cannot say, I'll deal with this later. You don't have any guarantee for tomorrow. Now, dear friend, listen to me. God loves you. And God wants to be your Savior. God wants to save your soul tonight. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. And God took your sin penalty and my sin penalty and put it on Him. And on that cross, He died and paid your sin debt. You say, well, Pastor, how do you get saved? Well, it's real simple. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You say, well, what's it mean to confess? That means to admit you're a sinner, pray, and ask the Lord to save your soul. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? You say, well, yeah, Pastor, I believe that. I believe what the Bible says about Him. But have you trusted Him as your Savior? And if you haven't tonight, I'd like to give you the opportunity right now to do that. Right now, while you're seated where you are, I'd like to give you the opportunity to trust Christ as your personal Savior. If you'd like to be saved right here tonight, you're not sure you're saved, and you'd like to be saved, I want you to pray with me this little simple sinner's prayer. I will lead you in the prayer. I will help you with the prayer. And you can ask the Lord to save you right now. In your seat, just pray with me, but mean it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I know that Jesus came and died on that cross for me. And right now, by faith, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord, I repent of my sin and ask You to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me whiter than snow in Your precious blood. Wash my heart clean. And Lord, thank You for saving me in Jesus' name. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer with me tonight and you meant it in your heart, would you lift your hand right now where you are? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Are there others? How about up in the balcony? Pastor, I prayed with you, prayed that prayer, and trusted Christ tonight. Would you lift your hand and hold it up? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Good. Are there others? Are there others? Yes, God bless you, young lady. I see your hand back there. Thank you. Good. Bless you. Yes, God bless you. Well, amen. Father, thank you so much for speaking to hearts tonight. And thank you, Lord, for souls trusting Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that you will help these folks to grow and mature and develop as Christians. Help them to get in church. Help them, Lord, to get in their Bible and read their Bible and find out all the wonderful things that salvation does for us. And Lord, I pray that as we stand now to sing, that you will just, Lord, help us all to take the opportunity to draw close to you and to realize what Christmas is all about. And Lord, what a wonderful time of the year this is. What a wonderful occasion as we celebrate the birth of our precious Savior. And Lord, thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.